Lord, thank you that we can come to your table this morning. Yes. We can celebrate with you. Amen. Lord, just be in this time. Amen. Fill us with you, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.
You are the king. You are our king. We bow to you. We bow to the king. You have created everything. All we have to do is lean on you. Lean on you. Your son has done everything for us. What is our part? What is our role now in what he has done? He's what he did. He took everything to the cross. He took everything.
And all the people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Good to be here. Amen. Lots of friendly faces. That's a good thing. People who are behind us and supporting us and encouraging us in everything that we do as a body. Today is a day when we want to say some thanks to a few different people, but particularly to Len and Hilly Nederloff. They're going to be heading to BC here pretty quick. And we just need to spend a little time thanking them, mostly because of just their faithful service and all the years that they spent helping to build this church, the gifts that God's given them and that they've used so freely among us. And we just want to spend a little time this morning and then later on coming to the table together and thinking about a wedding feast that we're going to all be a part of someday. But just to say thanks to you guys, and I don't really know how to do that. Crystal does, so let's start.
Well, he made me do this, and I really want to do this. Maybe some of you don't know Len and Hilly, like we do. They've been in our lives for a ton of years, tons and tons of years.
30.
30 years. And we especially got to know them when we were going through our mess, when we were going through all of that. Hilly became, along with another lady, became my mentor, and she, every week we would meet together, and she just kept pointing me to Jesus, and that's when my life really, really changed around. I was a Christian before. I knew lots of stuff. I just didn't know Jesus. I just didn't know him personally. I didn't know him as a friend, and so she opened that up to me. And Len as well, and both of them just kept giving us hope. It was a really tough time. We felt like there was no hope. We felt like this was it. We didn't know what was going to come next. And they just kept saying, no, Jesus has a plan for you. Jesus has a plan for you.
That's right.
So I'm going to miss them greatly. There's a ton of reasons, too. Like, she's an amazing cook, and once in a while she has us over for a very amazing meal. And we just have to sit there and eat. It's so nice.
Yeah.
Miss that. I'll just miss her work in the with the children. She's done most of us don't even know that she's been one of those people behind the scenes, just doing so much work, spending lots of time. And so I just want to thank you, Hilly, especially for that too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just their love and encouragement. And you know what? I'll bet you there's a ton of people in here too. I know I'm saying that word a lot, but there's a lot of people in here who have been touched by them.
Yeah.
By both of them.
Amen.
That is one of the gifts that God has given both of them. It is gift of faith.
Yeah.
And the gift of discipling others, and you will be greatly missed.
You just hang on to that a sec. So, and things like, you know, as we think we sit here in this church, we've been in here for this building for over a year. Think of all the work Len did on that building committee and the fundraising, and you know, coming up here, bouncing up the stairs, and telling us how great things were going. And I don't think Len ever has a bad day. You know, he's just such a positive guy. I've appreciated you I thought about that. You know, in some ways, you've been my friend. You've been like a brother. You've been like a father. I hope that's okay to say that. You're barely old enough to be my father, but I, you know, as a mentor, I'm walking through some of the darkest times in our lives. You know, you guys were there. There was a time when we were all part of a different church than this, and they were saying to Crystal, almost every voice was saying to my wife, you need to leave him, and you need to stay away. You got to get away from Stan. You need to leave him. And you were so perplexed about that because you didn't, I don't want to tell your story, but you didn't feel that's what God was saying. And I know that when she went to Hilly, I just never forget what Hilly said. Hilly never said, this is what you should do or this is what you shouldn't do. What she said to Crystal was, you just need to listen to Jesus and do whatever Jesus tells you to do. So we've learned a lot from you guys. We're going to miss you a lot. And you know, the Sunday school, the building, the worship, you know, how are we going to find someone to do country gospel? I don't know. Well, God's going to have to provide someone. Willie's here, so maybe Willie can start doing it, you know. You got anything else? Yeah.
Yeah, so in the back of the church, there's this little booklet, and there's just some index cards, and I just invite all of you, just write a little note of thanks to them, or farewell, or anything you want. Any way that they've touched you, just say thank you. We're just going to stick it in there. It's just like a little photo album. We're just going to stick them in there. I'm the teacher, so I put little stickers there if you want to put a sticker on to make it pretty. Okay, and there's pens, lots of pens there. So I just invite you to do that.
Can I invite Leonard Hilly to come forward and just say a few words? Yeah.
Should go first.
I'm just going to sit.
Okay. Had I known that it was going to be this hard to say goodbye to so many good people, will you hold this for me? To family and friends, I might have thought about this harder and longer. But if I would have done that, thought harder and longer, I don't think it would have happened. And so I remember we were in Langley and looking at this new place to live. And I finally said to Len, what are we going to do? And he said, we're going to do it. We're going to do it. And he's not usually that. We're going to do it. And usually I would have given them a big argument, but I think it was time. It was time for us to go. So leaving this church is particularly hard. It became a very major part of our lives, and we were, especially the last 6 years when we were retired, and so we had not a whole lot else to do, and we just fell into the business of running the church. Now to go somewhere else, like we used to do, it's going to seem pretty lame or tame or whatever you want to call it. It's not going to be like this, and so we will really miss you, miss this church, and. No matter where we go, though, God's promises are what bind us together, and they are here for you, and they're here for us. Wherever we go, they're going to be there for us. His word never fails. And it's for all who believe in him, not just for us. Speaking of God's promise, let me tell you one of my favorites. Psalm 23, verse 6 says, "Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And I really believe that. And this is not only true for us, but it's also true for every one of you who believes in our Lord Jesus Christ. We together, no matter where we are, we're part of God's family, and we love you guys.
In thinking about what to say this morning, my mind went back to 1951, when my mom and dad and two brothers and a sister and myself emigrated to Canada from Holland. And I have a picture in my mind of saying goodbye to my Oma van Tichelen, my mom's mom, standing on the sidewalk outside of a taxi ready to take us to Rotterdam, where we would board a ship. And those kind of goodbyes in those days were kind of final. Nowadays it's more so long because of communication and travel. But in those days, mothers left, saw their children go, thinking they would not see them again. And that was the thinking then. And later on, that was in 1951, February, 60-some years ago. And my dad's mother was there too. And we didn't know until much later that my dad's mother had written a letter to him. And we didn't see that letter until, I think, my mom died 15 years or so ago. Going through her stuff, my sister found this letter that my dad's mother had written to him. It was a lovely letter, and we all got a copy of it, and I have a copy of it somewhere. But I want to leave the words, her final words, I want to leave with you. She said some things, and again she said in the letter, thinking that she would never see him again, and she didn't. My mom's mom saw them again, but not my dad's mom. My dad's dad had passed away already, I think, when I was 3 years old. Anyhow, she ended this letter with the words that I will leave with you. "Do not forget about Jesus." That's what she said to him, wrote to him. "Do not forget about Jesus." That's the words we leave with you. I know you won't, but in times of trouble, in times of strife, in times of disappointment, God is working all things for your benefit. It's a true thing. Believe that. Do not forget about Jesus. Amen? Amen.
Going to do the other thing. Just stay for a second.
I got roped into this. I've known this woman for a long time. From being just an annoying sister that used to beat me up all the time, to now where she's the matriarch of our family. And Lan, of course, I've known for a long time as well. His family used to pick us up and drive us to church every once in a while when the weather got too bad. Otherwise, we'd walk or whatever. I think I'm going to be second last one here. All the rest of the family has moved away. But I think I've shared more of my of my faith, of my growing in my faith with Glenn and Hilly than anyone else. And they've always been very, very encouraging, very building. And so, yeah, it's going to be tough. But so we wanted to leave them with a memento that best represented Potter's Hands. And it's a painting done by none other than our Gertie, who epitomizes what we want to be in this church. There's really, in a way, there's nothing that we could think of that they really need.
Except an airplane. We couldn't afford that.
We'll have to have him fundraise for it. But anyway, we want you to know that we love you sincerely and deeply.
Yes, we do.
And just wish you Godspeed. Because I know you won't. I know you won't be standing still.
Man. I'm going to ask the leaders to come up. I'm just going to say a prayer over you and just ask God to direct you and lead you. So any of our leadership team, please come up at this time. And
thank you, Father God, for your grace, your mercy towards us every day, Lord. You keep us alive. You thank you for the breath of life, Lord God. You keep our hearts beating, Lord God. And you give us the air to breathe, Lord God. So we thank you that you're the author of life. God, we thank you for our brother and our sister that has brought life here, Lord God, amongst us, Lord God. God, they've been stewards of life, Lord God. They've spoken life into people, Lord God. They've encouraged. They've strengthened. And they strengthen, they've undergirded people, Lord God, in your way, Lord God. And we'll all be forever grateful, not only to you, Jesus, but to them, Lord God, who have offered their lives to you, Lord God, a living sacrifice, so that they could be used by you, Jesus. So just be with Len and Hilly, and we appreciate them. We just love them dearly, and we just kind of hate to see them go, Lord God. But God, you know you have other plans, so we just submit them to you, Lord God, and that you'll cause them to grow and to flourish in Fort Langley there, Lord God, that there'll be instruments of life there as well as they have been here, in Jesus' name.
God, we know that that sometimes it just seems like when a couple like this leaves and there's such a big hole, Lord, we know that you are faithful, that you're going to you already have plans for who's going to step in to these shoes, Father. And so I want to thank you that for that first. But and I also just want to echo Alvin's prayer, God, that you will go before them to Fort Langley. God, that you will open up doors so that they can continue the ministries, Lord, and be that they may use these gifts, God, that you have given them. And God, I just pray that they may settle in easily and that they may go forth in joy. And so, God, I just pray a blessing for them in Jesus' name.
Lord, let this next leg of the ministry that that they have, let it be even more fruitful. And Lord, we just release them to fulfill everything that's left in the calling that you have on their lives. Thank you for filling the void that they are going to create. Fill it with humility, Lord, and fill it with those that walk in your love. God, you give us, provide for us in so many ways, and in one of the great ways that you bless us and you build us up and you encourage us is through other people. And I thank you for Lynn and Hilly, God, and the way that the way that you have moved in this congregation and in Red Deer through them. God, thank you for using and blessing and caring for Lynn and Hilly. And we thank you that you're with them. We thank you, God, that you're going before them. We thank you, God, that you know what's ahead and they don't have to think about it or worry about it. Thank you, God, that you know. You have all authority. You have all power. All the glory is yours, God. And we thank you for that in heaven. We thank you for what's ahead in Fort Niagara for them. Thank you for this new chapter that you've got that's unfolding. Thank you, God. You're a good God. We thank you over and over and over. Thank you, God, for being so good to us. In Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
So one of the things that's changing is that Crystal, after all a number of years of leading our Sunday school, is retiring from Sunday school, and Margarita is going to take that on. And in a minute, we're going to be just saying a word of thanks to Crystal as well. I'd like to ask Margarita come up, if you will, and Hilly and Margarita are going to explain a little bit about some of the things that are going to be happening to enhance our care of our children.
Okay, we have experienced quite an upset in our children's ministry. Crystal Crom, who's been involved with the ministry for at least 8 years, I don't really know how long, Crystal, but I know a long, long time. She left to spend more time with family and her ever-increasing busy job. And we just thank her so much for all that she has done and perhaps will do again in the future, we're hoping. Okay, and Jesse Collings, our faithful Jesse Collings has faithfully looked after our nursery for the full year we asked for. We asked if she would give us a year, and she said yes. And so a few weeks ago, she said to me, remember you asked me if I would do this for a year? Yes. Okay, the year's up. And we've loved her, and the kids have loved her, and so, but anyway, this is her last Sunday. She's in the nursery right now. So we thank Jessie and pray that God will bless her in whatever he has chosen for her to do. And since Len and I are moving, that leaves no one in leadership in the children's ministry until we asked Margarita if she would consider this ministry, and after a lot of talking, we did a lot of talking, didn't we? She has agreed. Yet another example of how the Lord always provides. I'm going to just let Margarita tell you in her own words just what she's thinking of the ministry, and it won't be long, but she wants to tell you.
Hello, it's a privilege to me to be part of the children's ministry, and I would like to gather some people around us. Well, even she's going to be away, but we're going to keep in touch, I hope. So it's opportunity. It's an opportunity that we have to change the future, a future generation in the lives of those kids. So I think it's a privilege to be in the children's ministry. It's a duty, I think so also, and to see those children living for God and being led by the Holy Spirit. So I would like to invite. I hope everybody wants to join, but whoever feels in her heart that wants to join in this ministry to work together as a team to lead those kids into the knowledge of Christ Jesus. So we will be outside. We're going to have a meeting in Healy's house on next Thursday. So we're going to be outside. So whoever wants to be part of this ministry, come to the table that we're going to be there, and we're giving you the address, and we're taking your names, and we see you on Thursday.
Not just the Sunday school teachers are invited, but also those who work in the nursery. We're just going to, at 6:30, we're just going to have a time of fellowship, and she will be doing a lot of talking, won't you?
Yes.
And we're going to have dessert and coffee, and so please try to be there if you can. This is a first meeting of trying to work as a team, and so we would appreciate it if you would come. We will have addresses for you for my house right after the service outside. Thank you.
Everyone's going to stay. And Krista, would you come up, please? Please? Come on up. We just want to pray, okay? Just want to pray a blessing. No? Okay, that's okay. You can stay there as we pray. So God, we just know that this is a changing of the guard and a moving of the mantle from one person to the next. And first of all, God, I just thank you for Krista. Thank you for all the work, all the hours that you spent over the years making sure that our kids were trained and taught and organized. And thank you, God, so much for her willingness and for the Spirit of God that's in her. And I thank you, Lord, that you've prospered us, God. We have so many more little children that are coming, and there's such a need now, even more than ever, to train them and to educate them, to let them know who you are, God. We pray for this up-and-coming generation that they will be boys and girls who love you, that they learn what it is to love, and they know who you are. And I pray, Lord, that as the baton gets handed from Hilly and Crystal to Margarita and others, that we will be seen, and it'll be true of us, God, that we're faithful. And I pray for Margarita that your hand will be upon her. This is a daunting task. It's a big job, and it's thankless for the most part. I'm so thankful that Margarita is willing to stand up and take a few swings at this. And I thank you, Lord, that you give her such a gracious heart. I pray that you will increase her faith, God. I pray that she will not grow discouraged. I pray that there'll be many here today who will feel the call to be a part of this too, Lord, and to be a part of training and teaching our children. And it's not whether we have our own kids or not, Lord, that we take responsibility for the ones that come and recognize that we're all part of this family. So I just pray especially for Margarita, for Luis too, Lord, that you'll bless their family and that this will be a great thing. Lord, we've talked about other things rising up out of this, and we have bigger dreams, God. We have dreams of a women's ministry growing up out of this, and perhaps maybe some parenting courses and ways that we can do better at raising our children, Lord, and things that are great needs in our congregation. And we just commit that to you, Lord. You are the God who gives us visions and dreams. And you say that in the end times, in the last days, that we will dream dreams and we will have visions. So, Lord, help us to see the things of God. And I pray for your blessing, Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Yeah. Oh, I'm such a sap. Oh, isn't this beautiful? Man. When I saw it, I was reminded of, I used to read the Herman comics. I used to read lots of comics. But the Herman, because one Herman comic where the guy's a painter and he's got a whole bunch of paintings and someone else is talking to him and he says, you know, there's a price of $500 on a painting. And he says, well, would you sell it for $20? And the guy says, well, of course I'd sell it for $20, but wouldn't you rather own a $500 painting? I don't know what we got, but this is priceless. So, and I think it's such a blessing that Gertie made it. Gertie, I know your heart and soul is part of it, and the horses, and there's some reminders of Alberta, reminders of gospel music, reminders that God is such a great God. So, okay, moving on. We're going to have Lord's Supper in a little bit, and a couple things just so you know. There's going to be some cake afterwards. Crystal mentioned earlier that we just encourage you to fill out a little card or even just say a couple words. We can stick it in their book and just a way to give them a memento. Okay, Stan, get your head together here. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. God, thank you for this time. Thank you. Even though, Lord, we honor Lennon Hilly, we bring glory to your name by doing it. And I know they would want that as well. But we're here to worship you. We're not here to worship people. We're just here to be thankful for the people you give us. And that there are some people that have made some big impact in our lives. That there's some markers along the way in our life that they've put some flags down in our lives. And good memories and good advice. And for all of that, Lord, we're really thankful. Well, thank you that the one thing that binds us together is the blood of Jesus Christ. The one thing that gives us eternal hope and the surety that we will be together forever is your grace and the power of your blood to forgive us from sin. Because the one thing we all share in common is that we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So I thank you, God, that we stand with that assurance that this is just a small family that's part of a bigger family, and that together we will all be with you one day. Thank you, God, for your word, and as we just hear a bit of your word and then come to your table to eat and drink and to remember and believe the blood of Christ. We just pray that you'll move in this time right now. Lord, just move in our hearts. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will be evident, that when the word is spoken, it will be clear to be truth. Not man's word, but your word. That your word will convict where we need to be convicted. It'll encourage us where we need to be bolstered up a little bit. That it will prod us along to be the kind of men and women and boys and girls and children that you want us to be. Lord, I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for Potter's Hands. I'm thankful for how you've brought us down this road and that we are at this particular point in our history today. And we know that you are not going to abandon us. I know, Lord, that you will continue to lead on. And as you've been faithful in the past, you'll continue to be faithful in the future. And God, I pray that you'll continue to just sharpen our vision, Lord, to reach out to the lost. That we don't get busy doing all kinds of other things and forget about those who don't know you. That we'll remember that your whole purpose, Lord, for coming to this earth was to seek and save the lost. But give us a heart for the lost. I pray that love for our neighbor would grow in us. I pray, Lord, that you would give us a deeper empathy and just a love that can only come, that's a divine love that can only come from you. And we bless your name. We want to worship you and only you. And we ask you to lead on. Just lead us, God. We are your church. But the head of the body is Jesus Christ. This is yours, Lord. We belong to you. And we invite you to have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, yes. Okay, this coming Saturday, okay, from 4 till 7, meeting at the kitchen for a prayer walk. And hot dogs. Well, some people will come for both. And just one other thing before I read, just get your Bibles ready. I'm looking at Matthew chapter 22 today. Even though we say goodbye to Len, he will be preaching for us next Sunday. Crystal and I are going to be gone for a week, so we're really looking forward to that. But there's still another opportunity to hear some good preaching, and Len and Haley are still here next week at least, so just so you know that. Been looking at that story earlier about, you know, the wedding, the whole idea of the wedding banquet, and I'm just going to read this because I'm mumbling here. Matthew 22. And Jesus spoke to them again in parable, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son, and he sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. And then he sent some more servants, and he said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention, and they went off, one to his field and another to his business. And the rest seized his servants and mistreated them and killed them. The king was enraged, and he sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' And so the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. 'Friend,' he said, 'how did you get in here without wedding clothes?' The man was speechless. And the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot, and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'" What I meant to say earlier was that this is kind of a parable, a parallel parable to the one we've been looking at over the last number of weeks. And I want to spend a little time coming to this. I believe this is where God is leading us to. And it's a parable about the kingdom of heaven. And it's one of many Jesus parables where he starts with these words, "The kingdom of heaven is like this." And that's a way of explaining and describing what the kingdom of heaven is going to be. And he usually did it with a story. He'd say, here's what heaven, here's what following Jesus, here's what following this kingdom is going to look like. And here's what you have to look forward to. The kingdom of heaven is like this. And today he tells us a story about a king whose son was going to get married. He says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king whose son was going to get married, and he called all of these important people to come and be a part of the wedding feast. But they all denied him. They refused him. They paid no attention," he says. "They were invited to come, but they not only refused to come, not only did they not even pay attention to him, but they beat the servants who brought the message, who brought the invitation, and they even killed some of them." And that was been a shock thing. People who were listening, and remember, Matthew always writes to a Jewish audience, You know, and Matthew always has in mind when he's telling these stories the leaders of the Jews who were in the crowd. And of course, this is a foreshadow of what was going to happen to the Son of God, that he was going to be beaten and he was going to be killed. And it was a shock. People would have heard that and go, what? I mean, who would do such a thing? Well, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like, Jesus said. And so the thing of it is that the party was ready. And it's a real bummer when you've killed all the oxen and the cattle and no one's there to eat them. So the king sent his servants out to go to the highways and the byways and to bring people in, no matter who they were. And they weren't the chosen. They weren't the most invited people. But he says, bring them all in, because you know what? This wedding banquet is going to be filled with people. It's going to be filled with those who will come. It's going to be filled. And so the servants went out, and we're told that they collected both the good and the bad people. Thank God for that, amen? They collected the good and the bad people, and that the place was full. Let me read that again. So he said to his servants, the wedding banquet is ready, but those that I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone. Did you hear that? Invite anyone that you find. So that the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad. And the wedding hall was filled with the guests. You say amen to that? The ones who were invited, this is sort of where we come from last week. We talked about the invited. We talked about people who thought they deserved to, people who think they deserve God, people who think they deserve to go to heaven, and that we forget that we're only saved by grace. Well, this is why we're moving into this parable today, because as I made very clear last week, or at least I think I made very clear, we are none of us deserving. You get that? You don't deserve to go to heaven. You don't deserve to have your sins forgiven. You do not deserve God's grace. God's grace is simply a gift, and he says, here, take it. And it's up to us to receive it, right? And this is a story about, and again, Jesus is speaking to a Jewish audience. He's speaking to Pharisees and Sadducees. He's looking at them when he's saying, even though we don't have the video of this, he's looking at them when he's saying this. And he's saying, you know, those who believed that they deserve to be at this wedding banquet, oh, you're so wrong. You don't deserve it. You are only able to come to my wedding feast by the grace that I offer you. And the ones who refused him, refused him for all the reasons, all the wrong reasons, right? They're too busy, or they couldn't pay attention, or they had other things that were more important to do. Let me make a couple really quick points, because I want to make sure we have lots of time for the Lord's Supper today. I just want to kind of let this lead us into coming to the table. But let's make something clear today, that one of the things this parable teaches us, one of the things this story teaches us, is that if you refuse the invitation that Jesus gives, if you refuse to receive the grace that he offers you, the day may very well come that he gives that invitation to someone else. And that's a harsh teaching. It's a hard thing to even maybe absorb. And we know that he's not willing that any should perish. We know that he keeps calling. But there's one day that we're all going to die, if nothing else. One day that invitation will no longer be offered to you, but it is offered to you today. And that's good news. It's offered to you today. But if you keep refusing God, there's a day when it'll be past the day of salvation. And here's another thing that God makes perfectly clear in this story, and that is that when it comes to that kingdom feast, the place is going to be crowded, okay? It's going to be full. Don't ever think that, you know, when we get into that heaven, the kingdom of heaven, when we walk and look for our place at that feast, that there's not going to be many people there. The place is going to be full, you know? It's what it says, that was full of people, that all the guests came, the bad as well as the good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. Isn't that a great thought? You know, we are going to be in a place where all of those who responded to Jesus Christ, are you hearing this? We are going to be in a place where all of those, every single one who responded to Jesus is going to be there. Everyone. And there's only one requirement. And I want you to hear this very clearly today. There's only one requirement, only one thing that you need to do to make sure that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. To make sure that you have a placemat sitting there with your name on it when the Son of the King has his wedding feast. There's only one thing that you need to do, and that is you just need to come. That's it. We make it so much more difficult than that, but if you read the story carefully, it's really the only requirement. When Jesus says, come, and you got a choice. We all have this choice to make, right? Right? He says, you come and follow me. That's all Jesus did. He didn't twist people's arms. He didn't say, you are going to come. You're going to be my disciple. I want 12 people. You're going to follow me. Jesus never did that. He just looked at them and said, follow me. Come. Follow me. There's only one requirement. There's one thing that God asks of us, and that is when he says, come, that we actually get off of our seats and come. Just come. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened or heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, maybe you've been refusing Jesus, and you've been hearing his voice, you've been knowing that he's been calling you to come, but you've been not listening very carefully, or you've been doing like the people in this story, where you've refused him, or maybe you've ignored him, you know, you keep your fingers in your ears. I want you to know today that Jesus is just simply saying, come. Isn't it time that you come? Isn't it time that you stop running away from me? Isn't it time that you tasted of real life? I am calling you. I'm not calling you. I'm not giving you a whole bunch of requirements. I'm not asking you to pass a test. I'm not going to have all kinds of these stringent rules for you. He says, I have only one thing I'm going to tell you to do, and that is to come. Will you come to me? Will you come to me? The hard thing about this parable is that the in are out and the out are in. It's one of those topsy-turvy kingdom parables. It's about the kingdom of God. It's inside out. It doesn't make sense. It's not the way that we would expect it to be. If the king was really throwing a party for his son, you'd think all the cool people would be there, all the movie stars and the rock legends, but that's not the way it works out in this story. What works out is that it's the ones who are, I mean, the truth is, and it's the way Jesus tells this parable, is that no one's deserving. And by the time we read the whole parable, we get it. No one's deserving. Not the ones who were invited in the beginning and not the ones who were invited in the end. None of them are deserving. But the ones who come are the ones who are the good and the bad, the ones who are on the streets. But the in are out, and the out are in. And I was thinking about that this week, and I hope you just bear with me for a minute, but when I read this, you know, it really, for a long time, I don't even like to read these words, you know, that they'll be cast outside, they'll be tied up, he says, those who are in, or supposedly in, they'll be tied up, he says, and they'll be thrown outside into the darkness where there'll be gnashing and weeping of teeth. And as I thought about that, and I've been praying about that this week, this thought came to me. And it really helps me, at least, when I've been thinking about this, is that God was really saying to me, I believe through the Holy Spirit, that he was saying, Stan, that is ultimate homelessness. When you're tied up, because people who are homeless are tied up. They're tied to some addiction. They're tied to some mental illness. They're tied to something. He said, this is what absolute homelessness looks like. It's when you're tied up and you're thrown out into the darkness and when you're alone, and when there is just weeping and gnashing of teeth. And like some of you know, lately I've been struggling with the city and with different leaders, and there seems to be, and this is just my opinion, but just seems to be a lot less of empathy for people who are homeless. We have much less housing in this city than we had before. And there are people saying to me and saying to Potter's Hands, I've had people say, you know what, you're the reason why there's so many homeless people here, because they come here because you treat them too well. And we don't want that to happen. We want homeless people to be invisible. We don't want to see them. I know, I did that too. I had that same look. we don't even want to know that there are homeless people. We'd rather that they were kept hidden. And I've been having this discussion about whether we should be housing people. Should we be doing affordable housing, which means that we just kind of reduce the rate a little bit, and a lot of old ladies live there, and they're saving $50, you know, because they're in a little cheaper housing than before. Is that the kind of housing you want me to do? I've been asking the city this question. Or do you want me to really try to? You want us to really try to house people who don't have a place to live? And it's sad. I don't even want to give you some of the answers to that question. There is not a lot of love and not a lot of empathy for people who are down and out and who are tied to whatever that is that they're tied to, and who in this world are finding themselves in a very dark place, and where in the life that they have right now is a miserable life. If you have anything to do, or if you know people who are homeless, if you don't have a place to live, if you don't have a place where you can lay your head down, you haven't got a chance of ever getting a job. You don't have a chance, really, of even getting outside of that circle of people who are using. How do you get outside of that circle of people who are using when those are the only people who will surround you and everyone else wants you to be invisible or to just not be there? It's true. But here's God's word today. God's word, and this is what he said to me, and I'm encouraged by this passage. He says, you know, there are going to be some people, not everybody, but there are going to be some people who experienced a terrible homelessness in this life. And they were tied up, and they were in darkness, and they experienced weeping and gnashing of teeth. But one day, they are going to be in a place where they belong. Amen? One day, they are going to be not absolutely homeless, they are going to be at home with the Lord. They are going to be, and they're going to be the good and the bad. I love how it says it doesn't matter. It's not about how worthy we are or our merit. It's not about our merit at all. It's about God's grace. One day, those who lived in back alleys and in dumpsters are going to live with the King. Amen. And that's true if they, listen, that's true. All they needed to do, or all you needed to do, all they needed to do is say, I'm coming. That's it. When they needed to just hear the call to come. But, you know, the other is also true. The opposite is also true. That there are some who in this life had it all. They lived in mansions. They lived in beautiful 3,000 square foot homes with 3 or 4 car garages. And they refused to come. And to them, according to this passage, they will be thrown out into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, and they will experience a homelessness that they have never experienced before. In Luke, this is one of the, just listen to these words, but this is such an indictment. These are the words of another portion of Scripture. And it's a story of another parable of the kingdom of heaven. It's a story of rich man and Lazarus. And I just want to read just one part of it because it's such an indictment. And it just verifies what I'm saying today. Just listen to this. That, you know, the story is that they're in heaven. There's the rich man and there's Lazarus. And they lived on earth together. And the Lazarus was poor and he had nothing. And the rich man did nothing to lift up his finger to help him ever. And they find themselves, one in hell. The rich man is in hell. He's in the heat of hell. And the other, Lazarus, is up there with Father Abraham, and he's enjoying the kingdom of heaven. Now listen to these words. And so he called to him, Father Abraham, this is what the rich man says, have pity on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire. But Abraham replied, son, remember that in your lifetime you received the good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And I know those are pretty hard, pretty stark words. I don't want to leave you with this. You know, today we're going to come to the Lord's table. That the one thing that he asks of us is just come to me. And when you come, there's something that will change in you. When you come to Jesus, there's something that's going to change in you. Your heart is going to change. You're going to start loving in a way you never loved before when you come to Jesus. You come to Jesus, you're going to have a heart for people that maybe no one else had a heart for, or you never even had a heart for that person ever before in your life, but Jesus is going to change your heart, and all you need to do is come. That's it. You know what? Here's a true story. When I first knew Lennon Healy, this was 30 years ago, for the first 13 years of the ministry that I was involved in, I never knew there were homeless people. I drove by downtown all the time. I never even dreamed that there was anyone who was homeless. And to find out, for me, 17, 16 years ago, that there were 200 or 300 homeless people was a shock. People don't know. God is laying this burden on our hearts. How are you going to live? How are you going to respond? Are you going to come? You're going to come to Jesus. And He's not asking you to change the world. He'll change the world. He's not asking you to fix people. You can't fix people. You can try. You can feed people. We can love people. We can't fix them. And sometimes they still die. And sometimes they're still in agony. And sometimes they still live. They choose sometimes to live where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth and where they are tied to whatever they're tied to. Sometimes they'll choose to do that. But we are going to shine a light that is the light of Jesus Christ. He calls us to love, and He shows us. He shows us what that love is. He shows it. He shows it over and over and over and over and over and over again. He says, I love you, I love you, I love you. Now go and love them.
Okay.
Go and love them.
Okay.
Good timing. Right? Good timing. And it's so simple that it's almost hard to believe. In fact, I think it's one of the biggest problems we have. We think it's too simple. You know, what do I got to do? What do I got to do? What do I got to do, God? How can I work harder? What do I got to start up around here? And He just says this, you know what? All I ask you to do, the only thing, is to come. Just come. Come to me. Stand alongside of me, and I will show you what the kingdom of heaven is like. Love with the kind of love that I've shown you, and I will show you what the kingdom of heaven is like. Just come. Let's pray. God, thank you. And this is a challenge today, and Lord, there's some of us who've been wandering off, and we've been doing our own thing, and we can relate to some of those people in the first part of this parable that we've been ignoring you. Maybe we haven't been killing your servants, but we sure haven't been paying any attention to them. And we repent of that today, right now. Lord, you call us out of that darkness. And there's so much that you want us to do just to come. Come to me, you say today. And it's that simple. I pray, dear God, that as we come to your table, it will be a great reminder that one day we will be at the wedding feast of the bride and the bridegroom. That one day we will be with the King and with His Son. That one day we will be seated and our names will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And Lord, even just symbolically today, as we come to this table, we come to you. We come to you, Jesus. I pray today that you'll open our ears. We need to hear you, God. We need to just hear you and respond to you. We need to taste today and be reminded that you are good. Thank you, Jesus. We come because you say to come. Amen. Sonny, would you give me a hand with this? I'm just going to move it a little more in the middle. In a minute, I'm going to ask, just sit like that. There we go. In a minute, I'm going to ask Lennon Hill if you'd stand behind here and pass out the bread and the juice. You know, this is a tradition, and it's one of the good ones. There are some traditions that maybe aren't as great. This is the biblical tradition. This is something that God's Word says we ought to do, and we should be encouraged by it. And I don't know about you, but I need that encouragement today. I need to taste. I need to see it broken. I need to remember what Jesus said, that this is my body, and I broke it. It's broken, but it's for you. And He said that this isn't just something that we do, you know, once in a while, but we should do it until He comes.
It's a proclamation. This is a proclamation. When you take and when you eat of this, you're saying at least two things. One of the things you're saying is, I believe. I've come. And if you know what, if you can't, if you haven't come, don't come to the table. This is for people who have come to Jesus, or come to Jesus today and then come to the table. Just say, Lord, I'm coming to you, and he'll offer himself to you. He'll offer forgiveness to you. He'll offer an eternal life to you. This is for people who believe. The second thing that it really speaks is, it speaks that there's a day coming when Jesus is going to return. We do this until he comes. So Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. He said, this is my body. I give it to you. And he took the cup. And this was the night before he would pour out his blood for us. He took the cup and he said, this is the new covenant. This is new stuff. This is brand new. This is about forgiveness of sins. This is about wiping away everything that you've ever done. This is about invigorating you with the power of the Holy Spirit, because I'm sending my Spirit to reign and to rule in your life. This is my blood. This is a new covenant. And I pour it out for you. Amen? So as we sing a couple songs, I'm going to just ask you to make your way to the front, and then let's make the chairs work so that we can stand in a circle. And we're going to all eat together, okay? There's one thing in Corinthians where it says that they wait for each other and they all ate together. Let's do that together today. I'm just going to ask Len and Hilly to come, and maybe Hilly, you can hold the bread out, and Len, you can hold the juice cups, and let's do this prayerfully and remember. Just remember, I know I'm saying too many words, but just come. That's it. Just come.
Lord, I come for a high confession, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guards my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour, I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you.
Lord, I need you.
Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every night, I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace. Lord,
grace is more.
Where grace is found,
where grace is found,
is where you are. And where you are,
where you are,
Lord, I am free.
Lord, I am free.
Holiness,
oh,
is Christ
me.
Lord, I need you. My righteousness, oh God, I need.
out to God.
Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you.
So teach my song. Teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you, my one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, I need you. I need you. My righteousness, oh God, how I
hour, oh, I need you. My
First book of Corinthians, written by our friend Paul. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, think about that. On the night that he was betrayed by one of his own people, and isn't that life? Isn't that life? He gathered his friends around him and had a meal with them. And as he broke the bread, he said, "This is my body. Remember and believe. Broken for you." And the same thing, he took the cup after they had eaten. And he said, "This cup represents my blood, which I will pour out for you." And the next day he did. For you and for me. For the generations before us.
Yes, God.
For the generations coming after us.
That's right.
Your children.
Yes.
Your grandparents. He poured it out for us. So let's together eat that bread that he broke, representing his body for us. Remember and believe. And after they had eaten, he took that cup and said, "This is my blood. This represents my blood. And remember, as Stan already said, when he hung on that cross and he said, 'It is finished.'" He did it. And we know that God approved, because on the third day after that, he rose from death and gave him. He gave up his human body, and God gave him a glorified body, which he will do for us too. Mm-hmm. Remember and believe that then as we drink today. Father, I thank you today that we can be here together as family, heading toward home. Mm-hmm. Heading toward home. I thank you, Lord, that you've called each and every one of us, and you're calling many more. Lord, you've called us to be family.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord, that you go before, you go behind, you go to the right and the left and above and below.
Amen.
We are surrounded by you, God, today. Shall we take a moment, and if anyone has a chance, if wants to say something, Stan, is that okay? Anybody say one or two words? Thank you, God. Amen. Roger. Thank you. Love you back, Roger. Yep.
Every drop of his body, he gave all of his blood, not just a little bit,
Sonny.
We're celebration is something you need to do. We're celebrating unveiling farewell today, but I think this is not for mental and our church. I think it's hard to get a lot more. Don't believe at all. I thought you need to celebrate Jesus. But that's what we're doing right here.
Right. Amen. Celebrating Jesus. That's right.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for everything.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Gary. Here, Lise. Mm-hmm. Amen. A couple short ones yet.
We're all servants of God. Let's all be willing to be willing and
be. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Remember, this is not our table. This is Jesus' table, okay?
So grateful for every drop of blood that was poured out. There's a song that I sing quite often. It's for every drop of blood that fell, 10,000 sins were washed away. I think that's not even accurate. It's tens of thousands of sins.
Good words.
Amen.
Anyone else?
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, Len.
He's blessing, yeah.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
On a hill far away, stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dear has been left for a world of lost sinners was laid. Oh, I'll cherish the old rugged cross, till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross, by the world as a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God, let His glory above to bear it on dark Calvary. So I'll share it, the old rugged trophy that last I lay down, and I will cling to the old rugged cross, and exchange it someday for a crown. In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For it was on that old cross Jesus suffered and He died to pardon and sanctify me.
Thank you, Jesus.
So I'll cherish the old rugged cross. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. It is shame and reproach gladly bear. Then He'll call me someday to my home far away, where His glory forever I'll share. So I'll share in the old rugged cross, till my trophy at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
It's our voice.
So I'll cherish the old rugged cross, till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday.